Hi, welcome back to the Crime Hour. This week we're going to be talking about the Plainfield Ghoul, also known as the real-life Leatherface. That's right, if you didn't know, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre was based on a real thing. And let me tell you all about how they got this inspiration, okay? But before I get started, I just want to put a disclaimer that this episode does include graphic descriptions, so if you're not comfortable with that, feel free to skip this week's episode. Ed Gein was born on August 27th, 1906, in La Crosse County, Wisconsin. By the time he was 8, he moved with his family to Plainfield, Wisconsin, which was an isolated little village about 700 to 800 people. The Gein family lived on a remote farmhouse. Their 150-acre farmhouse was located at the corner of Archer and 2nd Avenue. As a kid, Ed barely got to leave the property or socialize with other kids. His mother, Augusta, was very dominating, and she was a devoted Christian. Wow, I don't know how to speak. You know that. And had extreme ideas about sin and mortality. She tried drilling in Ed and his brother Henry's head that they can't socialize with anyone in the town because they were all sinners, all evil, and all the women were whores. Mother of the year. Oh, by the way, this is what society is like, so don't talk to anybody, okay? I don't know, that's such a terrible image to put for your child. Like, why would you say that to them, right? So whenever Ed would make a school friend and invite them over, his mother would find a way to get rid of them and tell Ed not to invite them over. So he was very much isolated. That's so sad. He just wanted friends. And I feel like that's really odd because most parents are always like encouraging their kids to be social and make friends. So for a mother to tell them like, oh yeah, you can't have friends and stuff like that, that's really sad. Like, imagine your kid just sitting there twiddling his thumbs because he had no one to play with. Ed's father, George, was an alcoholic. When his father would try to get physical with the boys, the mom would always step in because she was the man of the house. Per se, his mom would always be very like strict, and so because of it, like, whatever she said goes. Which I mean, like, okay, yeah, she didn't let them socialize and stuff like that and make friends, but I mean, at least she was able to stop the dad from being like physically abusive to her children, which is a good thing. So there's up and downs, clearly. As Ed grew up, he dropped out of school at 12 years old to work on the family farm. He also enjoyed reading. Although he was a loner, he worked really hard on the farm. I mean, I guess if your mom's really strict and you have nothing else better to do, right? Like, what if you finished reading all of the books or whatever that you had? So I guess you're gonna work on the farm because what else are you gonna do at 12? You have no friends. April 1st, 1940, Ed's father died of heart failure from being an alcoholic, which left Ed, his brother Henry, and Augusta alone on the farm. Ed's older brother Henry was able to free himself a little emotionally, physically, and logically from their mother's dominance, and on a couple of occasions actually expressed some criticism about Augusta and the hold she had on them. On a conscious level, Ed worshipped his mother. He saw her as such a kind-hearted person and was a goddess who could do no wrong. So he was quite shocked when his brother was saying all these, like, criticizing things about their mother. Which, I mean, clearly Henry was able to tell, like, okay, this is not right. This is not how, you know, you're supposed to be treated. Like, our mom should not be, you know, telling us what to do and stuff like that. Like, controlling who we talk to or making friends or whatever. So, Henry was really, like, he's like, okay, I'm seeing the bigger picture here. There's something wrong. But Ed, because he was younger, he was, like, a mama's boy. So, he was like, what? No. Why would you say that? Ed became the handyman, doing odd jobs around Plainfield to help with the living expenses on the farm, because it's very expensive to live on the farm. People in town describe Ed to be quiet, friendly, usually has a joke to tell whenever he's like in town, and asking how people were doing. And he was just like a very decent person. Like, he kept to himself, but you know, he was able to still be friendly, and he's like, hi, how are you? Like, hey, you know, regular neighborly thing. May 1944, a bushfire started on the farm, and it got really, like, out of control, and Ed and Henry tried to put it out, but somehow they got separated while trying to do so, and Ed couldn't find Henry anywhere, so he went to go get help, because the fire was out of control. And so once help arrived, Ed was able to lead them to Henry's body. Huh. Sus. Very, very sus, huh? First, he said he couldn't find Henry, then he led them straight to his body. I don't know. It's just very suspicious. There were numerous, like, mysterious bruises all on Henry's head, and the examiner claimed that Henry actually died of a heart attack, and when he was fighting the fire and had fallen and hit his head on the rocks. Like, I get, like, fires can get out of control, but how out of control could it be that you lose your own brother while trying to put out this fire? I don't understand that. I don't know. Maybe because of all the smoke and stuff, you just couldn't see the person. Maybe he did trip and fell and hit a rock. And while he, you know, suffered a heart attack and he couldn't get help because, well, they were battling a fire. I don't know. Just really suspicious to me. Because of this, Augusta actually really broke down about Henry's death, and she had a stroke. Ed saw it as, now that his father and his brother were out of the picture, he had his mother all to himself. Hmm. Does that remind you of anything? Bates Motel? Psycho? Yeah. Ed took care of her, and he would get into bed with his mother and, like, rub her back and comfort her until she was recovered. But then later, she suffered another stroke and died on December 29th, 1945. Ed, who is now 39 years old, was completely devastated and alone. So clearly, health is a big factor in their family. I mean, their dad died. I mean, they say it's because of the alcohol, but it was still heart failure. His brother died of a heart attack, and now his mom had a stroke. So something's going on in this family. But isolated and alone from society, Ed spiraled out of control. Over the next 12 years, he became obsessed with recreating the world he shared with his mother. Another psycho reference. This would ultimately lead to dark and disturbing crimes. He was able to keep it all hidden away until the winter of 1957. Before I continue, I just wanted to say, I'm not going to name all the things that he's done, just some of the stuff. If you would like more information, feel free to Google it at your own risk, okay? Again, like all the cases like Bundy and stuff like that, I'm not going to list all of it because it's a lot. And like I said, this one is it's graphic. So if you would like to look at it at your own risk, by all means. November 16th, 1957 was the first day of deer hunting season. Basically, all of the male population of the Plainfield would be in the woods and they'll be hunting deer. So because Ed knew this, he was the only one who didn't do this. So he drove into town to the Warden Hardwood store, which is owned by a 58-year-old woman named Bernice Warden. Edward had been hanging out at the hardware store the previous weeks and had grown an obsession with Bernice. He would talk to her all the time, ask her out, even though she was never interested. So that day, Ed walked in and asked for a gallon of antifreeze, which Bernice got for him. She wrote him a receipt, and Ed then went back to his truck. He then came back in and asked about the rifle at the window. Bernice thought nothing of it. She was like, oh, maybe he is going to go deer hunting, right? He just needed a rifle, right? So she helped him get a rifle off the display from the front window. After she handed it to him, she turned back around to fix the display window. And that's when Ed shot her in the back of the head. Wow, okay, I thought he liked her, okay. He then put her in the back of his truck and headed back to the farm. So clearly he cannot take rejection well. Later that day, Frank, Bernice's son, returned from deer hunting and noticed that nobody was in the store, which is very odd because the store was still open and there's nobody there, right? You don't leave your store unoccupied. As he was looking around the store, he saw a trail of blood. Immediately, he suspected Ed because Ed had been there for the last couple weeks, bothering Bernice. Frank contacts the authorities, and sure enough, when they were searching the store, they found a piece of evidence that would tie it all back to Ed. The receipt that Bernice had wrote for Ed, she also had a copy for herself. And so it was proven that Ed was the last person seen with Bernice because everybody else was deer hunting. So a group of officers went to go look for Ed and found him having dinner with the neighbor. So they arrested him for the kidnapping of Bernice. Another group of officers went to the Gein property and made horrific discoveries. On a dark winter night, officers began to search the Gein farm for Bernice, but they couldn't get into the house, so they entered through the back, which had a summer kitchen. A summer kitchen is a place where you could cook, do laundry, bathe in the summertime without having the house being really heated up. So basically like a shed, like a back house. The property didn't have any electricity, so the officers had to use their flashlights. One of the officers turned on their flashlights and saw something hanging from the rafter. You know, a slanted wooden beam towards the roof. Which, at first he thought it was just a gutted deer, that, oh, Ed just went deer hunting and this is what he's doing with the deer. Whatever. Until he realized that it was a woman's corpse that was hung by its heels and completely gutted, slit from the sternum to her pelvis, and it was the body of Bernice. The two officers stumbled out of the summer kitchen in horror, and they were vomiting, and it was just bad, right? Because the smell, and they were like, oh my god, that's not a deer, that's a whole human, what the fuck? When the news got out about the Gein's farm and Bernice, the residents of Plainfield were in complete shock. They all thought the police had the wrong guy. Like, there's no way Ed would be this type of person. He's so quiet. He's such a decent person. He helps around. He's always so friendly. Like, there's no way. It's always the quiet ones, huh? It's always the quiet ones and the crafty ones, you know, because he was so good with the handiwork around Plainfield and doing odd jobs. I also find it like it's also the people who are always on farms. Like farms, like especially abandoned farms or like when you don't hear of animals and stuff like that, like it gives me the creeps. Like it just gives me the vibe of, okay, I wonder what went, oh, you know, what's going on here, like, you know. That's just me thinking, because I'm like, it's always the farmhouses that something creepy happens. After finding the body of Bernice at the farm, the police searched the house. Some parts of the house Ed boarded up and kept it the way his mother left it. Other parts of the house he had started to hoard items, and there was trash all over the house. While searching, the officers discovered these incomprehensible objects that were found and made out of human body parts. Chairs that had been made out of human flesh, a lampshade made out of human skin, remains of 12 human heads, gloves made out of the skin from corpse, a jar full of human noses, and a box filled with female genitalia. Some were painted, some were tied with ribbons, and a belt made out of female nipples, a shade pool made out of human lips, and just much more. Like, it was horrific. Like, they couldn't believe their eyes. Like, they didn't think they would see, like, this was the worst case yet. Especially in a little town like Plainfield, like, they're like, nothing happens here. They're, you know? So this was like, what in the actual fuck? So Ed's fascination with death and corpse actually grown since his mother died 12 years ago. Although as a kid, he did enjoy reading. Since the death of Augusta and Henry, he started to enjoy reading pornographic magazines, medical textbooks, and started to enjoy reading about Ilse Koch. I don't know if I'm saying that right. But it's this person who worked at the Nazi concentration camps and would keep patches of skin of all the prisoners at the camp. Which is terrible, first of all. And gross. What the fuck is wrong with people in this world? And because Ed already worked, like, grew up working on the farm, he knew how to slaughter and gut animals. So he just did the same thing, but with humans. What the people are disgusting. Very disgusting, very horrific, and I don't know, this gives me a lot of the Toy Box Killer vibes. If you haven't checked that one out, feel free to check that out too. I made an episode about that a couple months back, or maybe the Toy Box Killer got the idea from Ed. I don't know. Either way, what the fuck. As officers continued their search, they found human skin masks that were hung on the wall of his bedroom. They were all of women, skinned and preserved. Ugh. There was also a skin suit. Ed crafted out of the upper torso of a woman and the leggings of a woman. Okay? Okay. Now? Okay. That's too far. No. Ed would go on to say that he would put on this suit and a mask, and would skip or dance lively around the yard, pretending to be his mother. Okay, so, this man is fucking crazy, disgusting, what the fuck? So many questions. His collection had been acquired from the cemetery where his mother lay. 2 years after the death of his mother, he started grave robbing, just taking women body parts. So, I don't understand how people do this and get away with it. Like, how do you dig up a whole fucking grave? I just don't understand how nobody sees you doing this. In the house, there was a paper bag. Inside was a severed head from a woman that had been reported missing 2 years ago in Plainfield. What the fuck? Okay. Okay. November 1957, Ed Gein was charged for the murder of Bernice Warden. 15 victims were found at the farm. What the fuck? Plainfield was suddenly famous for the home of America's most notorious psychopath. Yeah, no shit. It's always the little towns, too. November 21st, 1957, Ed Gein, who was 51 at the time, pleaded not guilty by reason of insanity, and it was declared that he was unfit to stand trial. The indication that Ed had was clinically psychotic was that he had hallucinations, heard voices, and he would say that the trees were talking to him. Most serial killers are not psychopaths, but Ed had all the symptoms. Are you sure about that? I think all serial killers are psychopaths. Hello? Like, you must be psycho to be even going through being a serial killer. Hello? Okay. Either way, I guess not all of them have trees talking to them. Either way, you're still really fucked up in the head if you do this. Don't do this. Ed was sent to the Central State Hospital for the Criminally Insane in Waupun, Wisconsin. I don't know if I said that right. Which is now a maximum security prison. In Plainfield, the community tried to get back on their feet, but the shadow of Ed lingered. In 1958, the Gein property was to be auctioned off, but the community didn't want it to be a place of attraction for those who were fascinated about this whole ordeal. So a few days before the auction, the property was actually burned to the ground. For a year, people had been coming and driving by the property grounds. Is that how you call it? Like, the farmland. Yeah, they were just driving past that, and they were just, like, going, they just wanted to see where the house was originally located. I don't know why you would never do this, like, no thanks. No thanks. Knowing about this horrific crime is enough for me. In March 1958, the car that Ed used to transport the bodies of his victims was bought at an auction for over $700 by a carnival operator who charged Americans 25 cents to get a photograph with it. Wow, that one's really for the books, huh? Imagine showing family members your photo album. Oh yeah, and this is where that guy, in Plainfield killed those people and made furniture out of their bodies. This is the car he used. You proud of that? You want that as a memory? What's wrong with people? Ed remained at the hospital for 11 years until doctors determined he was fit to stand trial for the first-degree murder of Bernice. The hearing lasted a week, and on November 14th, 1968, Judge Robert Gollin reached a verdict. Ed was found guilty, but sent back to a hospital because he had a routine and he was making a lot of progress for whatever mental health psycho thing going on with him, okay? His psychoness, whatever. I don't know. He was just getting the help that he needed. Ed died at Mendoza Mental Health Institute of due to respiratory failure due to lung cancer on July 26, 1984, at the age of 77. He is buried next to his family at an unmarked grave. So, yeah. So, this is the case of Ed Gein and the Plainfield Ghoul and his horrific crimes. The reason why the grave is unmarked is because, obviously, people are still curious. And they want to go see, and we just don't want to, you want to leave that in peace. Because people in Plainfield don't want tourists coming and just asking directions to go to the property. They don't like that. They didn't want that attention. Also, I still think, okay, if he was able to stand trial, I feel like he should be able to, deal with the consequences for his crimes. That's what I was trying to think. Yeah. Even though you're going to get help, that's great. Get your help. But also deal with the consequences. Serve your time. That's just what I think. So these are the many movies based on Ed Gein. Psycho. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre, like I said. The Silence of the Lambs. And there's a lot more. There's even American Horror Story, Asylum, that, I don't know, I've never watched the show, but somewhere in there they did mention Ed Gein. There was another one called 1,000 Corpses, something like that, and that one is very gruesome, very to the point, pretty much. So if you're really interested in it, knock yourselves out. But yeah, that is the case of the Plainfield Ghoul. Until next week, bye!